RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Her Radio, starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek, on RadioMD.
Okay, listen up, everybody. We have the 7 warning signs of shopping addiction. Michelle.
Of what?
Michelle.
What?
Put that phone down. You are not going to order something else. You have a problem, and we're going to find out if everyone else has a problem, too.
Oh, nice. Is this an intervention for me?
This is totally intervention. So a group of researchers at the Faculty of Psychology at University of Bergen developed a new and unique method to measure shopping addiction called the Bergen Shopping Addiction Scale. And we have with us one of the top researchers who did this with them, and this is Cecilia Shu Andreasen. She's currently a visiting scholar at Yale University. Welcome to Her Radio.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I'm really happy to have you, Cecilia, I have to tell you.
Michelle needs an intervention right now for shopping addiction. I'm just telling you, Cecilia.
I do.
This is an important segment for her and everyone else. All right, we're going to go and look at these 7 signs of shopping addiction. Talk a little bit about the science. The first sign, you think about shopping, buying things all the time. Tell us what's going on there, Cecilia.
Well, what we have done, we have developed a scale that captures common addiction symptoms that are usually emphasized in other addictive behaviors, because there has been a lot of scales earlier developed in this field, and actually the shopping addiction problem or shopping behavior like this has been emphasized in psychiatric literature for almost a century, actually. But many of the existing scales, they do not approach it as an addiction in terms of core addiction criteria. And the one criteria you mentioned now, the first item in our scale, is about salience, that you involve that you are obsessing over shopping behavior and buying things and activities. So it becomes the most important thing in your life in a way.
So it becomes the most, okay, so that's number one. So then you shop so much that it impairs your well-being.
Well, that's another criteria. We have these 7 criteria, and you have the first criteria involves obsessing over shopping or buying activities, and the other criteria is that shopping or buying is a way of to enhance the feeling. Mm-hmm. And you also have to increase the behavior over time in order to feel satisfied. And it also causes you to ignore other activities because of the behavior. And often one have tried to unsuccessfully control or reduce the behavior without any success. And it can also cause problems as a result of the behavior. And a lot of people can recognize themselves in several of these items, but to score as a shopping addict, you have to score at least, well, you have to say that you score high on at least 4 out of the 7 criteria to maybe.
So you're saying you're going to score 4 minimum out of the 7 criteria. So there, you think about shopping, buying things all the time. You shop, buy things in order to change your mood.
Yes.
You shop, buy so much that it negatively affects your daily obligations like schoolwork. You feel you have to shop, buy more and more to obtain the same satisfaction as before. You have decided to shop or buy less, but have not been able to do so.
Yes.
You feel bad if you feel for some reason that you're prevented from shopping or buying things. And the final one is you shop by so much that it has impaired your very well-being. So 4 out of those 7 criteria. So the question is this a real addiction?
Well, it's not formally recognized as a real addiction as many other addictions are. For example, a video game addiction is not formally recognized. The only behavioral addiction that is recognized in psychiatric neurology is pathological gambling. But a lot of addictive behaviors, there's been doing a lot of research on these themes the last 10, 20 years, and with the new DSM criteria that included actually the pathological gambling as behavioral addiction, it also set the door open for more inclusion later when the research has been more done in this field.
I see women all the time who suffer from this, so I do believe it's an addiction, whether or not they're going to call it an addiction or not. But tell me, Ingrid, how does the Bergen shopping addiction scale work exactly?
The Bergen shopping addiction scale work in the way that we capture core addiction criteria that's been recognized in other addictions as well, also in substance addiction. And you have to score 4 out of 7 of these criteria in order to be categorized as a shopping addict. So we use the core criteria like salience and conflict and mood modification and withdrawal symptoms, etc., to define this behavior, problematic behavior. We often see that it's women that score higher on this than males. It's very often also related to younger ages as well.
Now, is this also associated with hoarding? You know, hoarding's another psychological criteria, you know, for OCD, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder, and obviously there's a spectrum of this. But I'm just wondering, clearly they're going out and grabbing, you know, whatever, and then half the time they forget what they even got in the first place. What's the crossover with the whole hoarding psychological spectrum?
The hoarding spectrum is often defined as an impulse control disorder and not as an addiction. It's actually also included in the DSM system. While shopping addiction doesn't necessarily mean that you hoard, but it has another sector to it as well, that you get addicted, you want to buy more stuff, and you have all of these other criteria that you that's also involved in the behavior.
So, Cecilia, let me ask you the last question quickly, because I want to get to what is, you know, how do you get out of this destructive pattern, right? Once you're in it, how do you work your way out of it?
Well, so far, there's no well-documented treatment for shopping addiction, although financial counseling and individual and group therapy and certain medication also, as well as self-helping books and programs have been proposed. There has been written a lot of self-help books on this theme before. But like self-helping tips, I think it's a good way to try to do something by yourself before you run off to, for example, a psychologist. And that is, of course, first to make a decision that you wanted to change your behavior, and also be aware and keep a log of the potential triggers. For example, entering a shopping mall or going to certain online sites that you usually cause you to shop, or for example, after quarrels or fights with your boyfriend or girlfriend may also be a trigger for some, because they want to make themselves feel better and go out and shop. And also, of course, getting rid of credit cards and pay with cash to have a better control. I would also recommend making a shopping list and try to stick with it.
Right.
And I think also it's a good rule to wait at least
really
24
good.
Hours
yep.
before
yep,
you buy
right.
something.
And to really rein this in and to start developing boundaries, but don't be afraid to get help. It's very, very important. We've been talking to Cecilia Shu Andreasen, who is a Yale scholar and from the University of Bergen, and associated with the team that created the Bergen Shopping Addiction Scale. To learn more about their work, go to uib.no-en. Thank you so much for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Rose.
A couple things you can do. Create a shopping list and keep a log of the emotional triggers before you go shopping. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.